John Batch with my colleagues Ryan Brobst and Brad Bowman. They are with the Center on Military and Political Power at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. We've given you the numbers. It's inadequate to fight a war, even one war at a time. Right now, it looks like we're giving Ukraine enough to lose. What is to be done? Brad, you want money. How much?
I'm very happy that we've had, you know, there's things in the reconciliation package doesn't like, including myself. But there is a whole lot of positive defense spending in there, I think, to a tune of roughly $150 billion, which is going to help compensate for the lackluster base defense budget request that didn't even keep up with inflation that I spoke about. And so as a general rule of thumb, I believe we need to be increasing our defense spending annually about 3 to 5% above inflation, and we have to make sure that we're well above 3% gross domestic product. I would just highlight in the most recent NATO summit, the Trump administration was beating up NATO allies to try to get them to spend 3.5% of GDP on defense, but the United States itself is going to struggle to keep above 3%. You know, so in the Army, we have this idea of lead by example. I have an idea. If we're going to pound our European allies to spend 3.5% of GDP on defense, maybe we should too.
Ryan, what do you recommend about the Pentagon's requirements to include the partners? How so? How do we revise it?
So currently, the Pentagon sets requirements based on the amount of ammunition it's going to need in a certain conflict. And what we're recommending is that the Pentagon also take into account the needs of our allies and partners in contingencies. Now, this is certainly kind of a form of heresy in the Pentagon, and they certainly don't want to have additional requirements given limited funding. But what this would allow us to do is actually know how much ammunition we're going to require from industry to be able to prosecute these conflicts effectively.
Mark Rutte of NATO says there's a reason to believe that Russia will attack a NATO member by 2030. Are we ready for that, Brad? And should we get the equipment not only produced but stored ahead of time in Europe?
We are more ready now, John, than we were in 2014 when we saw the Crimea invasion, but we are not fully ready. No, we are not. And we're certainly not ready for a simultaneous major wars in the Baltics and the Taiwan Strait. I've used it too many times. Secretary of the Army George Marshall's quote, you know, for 20 years, I had the time and not the money. And then I didn't have the money and not the time. And that the idea there is that you got to spend now for what you're going to need 2 to 4 years from now. And that's why we're trying to sound the alarm, so that we can spend that money now. And just quickly, you said by 2030. Well, look at that spending commitments that we asked of our European allies. We want them at that 3.5% by when? 2035. It's going to be over in the Baltics by 2035 if we don't spend at a higher rate.
30 seconds, Ryan. What is a multi-year procurement authority?
So currently, Congress pays for munitions in each given year. So, you know, in 2024, we're going to buy this many Gimlers. In 2025, we're going to buy this many Gimlers. And this gets reduces the predictability for industry, and therefore they don't want to invest in more production. What multi-year procurement does is we say, hey, we're going to buy X number of this each year for the next 5 years, sending a consistent demand signal and incentivizing investment in production. And so if Congress can expand that to more munitions, we'll have greater investments from industry in increasing that production.
Ryan Brobst and Brad Bowman, Center on Military and Political Power at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I also recommend the document they produced earlier this year, Arsenal of Democracy, a very thorough analysis of what it will take to arm not only Ukraine, but Israel and Taiwan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.